privilege tonight to be able to introduce you to our speaker, Jody. Jody and her husband, Serge, have been a part of our church for 30 years. Jody has a degree in elementary education, and she has been a classroom teacher for 15 years. Her true passion is teaching, and more specifically, teaching God's Word, and that's just evident in how she serves at our church. She teaches the kindergarten class on Sunday mornings, which I think is huge, because I have two kindergartens, and she also teaches women's Bible study on Wednesday mornings to the ladies, and so her heart is just for teaching God's Word, and we love that. So the question I'm asking our speakers this year is, tell us about your favorite family tradition that you have, because I think we can learn a whole lot from that and maybe take a few of them. So Jody's that she shared with me, and our family is doing it this season, is they had a notepad at their dining room table, and so every evening they would write something during the season of Thanksgiving. They would write something they're thankful for, and they'd fold it up and put in a basket. And then during their Thanksgiving meal, they would read through all of them that they listed that month. And I just think that's a sweet reminder of this season and being grateful and celebrating what we're thankful for. So thank you for sharing that tradition. And welcome, join me in welcoming Jody.
Well, it's good to be with you this evening. I am really excited about being here with you at eMoms. A little side note, many years ago, for 6 years, I was on the eMoms leadership team, and three of those years coordinating it. So I'm really excited to be back with you, and I am thrilled to see so many moms out wanting to find out how to become a better mom. Well, I don't know about you, but I am really enjoying the colors that seem to have popped out in the last couple of weeks. This is one of my favorite times of year, November and December. I love all the warm colors of fall and all the traditions of Christmas. And it's a time of a lot of warmth and fond memories that we're creating in our families and maybe that we had growing up. And this time of year reminds me of my mom, who went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago. At Thanksgiving time, you know, you have fond memories of the things that your mom made, and maybe some of those recipes you're going through this week to prepare for next week. Well, mom made many different things, but our all-time favorite was her broccoli cheddar casserole. She made it every year. It was, you know, a standard that we'd have, and we all looked forward to it. And Thanksgiving dinner didn't just last on Thanksgiving. Mom always made a lot, so for days afterwards, all the dishes were set out, and you'd fill up your plate, you know, buffet style. But the bowls kept getting smaller and smaller as the leftovers, you know, got smaller and smaller. And I have this very vivid memory of this little bowl of leftover broccoli cheddar casserole. And we were all, you know, we'd all agreed, okay, we'll only take a little so everybody can have some. And I don't remember how it happened. I just do remember that before anybody could spoon some out, crash, it was on the floor, and no one got any. Well, I've inherited my mom's recipe for cheddar broccoli casserole, and it's coming out next week. I've inherited a lot of things from my mom in our dining room when we have Thanksgiving dinner. Her beautiful hutch will be there. But of all the things that I've inherited from my mom, none is more dear and precious to me than the spiritual heritage I've inherited from her. My mom was a faithful, godly woman. And in the early morning, if we wanted mom, we knew where she was. We knew we'd find her in the family room in her blue lazy boy chair with her Bible open on her lap and often her head bowed in prayer. And we knew that she was probably praying for us. And that precious gift of my mom's prayers means so much to me. And I have seen the fruits of that come out in my own life as the answers to her prayers sown long ago continue to be answered. And so tonight we're going to talk about the topic of prayer. And I'm calling this talk, a treasured recipe, a mother's prayer. And I want to pass along to you a recipe for prayer. Now, the topic of prayer, we come to this topic, and some of us might automatically be thinking, oh, it's prayer. I know I should be doing it. And there's this nagging thing in the back of our head, kind of like me in exercise. I know I should do it. I know it's good for me. I wish I loved doing it, but I don't. And if you have me doing some kind of exercise, sometimes it's just downright embarrassing. I don't want to do it in front of people because, you know, don't ask me to be on your volleyball team. You'll be sorry. And I only step into action when there's some kind of emergency, you know, got to run and take care of something. Maybe there's some of us who feel like that tonight about the topic of prayer. Others of us, we have been praying. And maybe you came tonight because you want to grow in praying. You want to be encouraged in your prayer. And because your mom's, what's near and dear to your heart is your kids. And you're hoping to find out, how can I pray more for my children, more effectively for my children? And I'm glad that you feel that way, because those things that you have on your heart, it does happen after prayer. It starts with prayer. And I recommend a book to you tonight. It's called It Happens After Prayer by H.B. Charles. He's a very godly speaker. And you will find some great additional information on top of what we're going to talk about tonight in that book, It Happens After Prayer. Well, whatever the reason you've come tonight, we're going to talk about the principles of prayer, and then we're going to give some practical tips about prayer, and then we're going to talk about passing on the practice of prayer. And tonight we're going to use the word recipe to help us with those principles of prayer. Now, when I say recipe, I'm not talking about a formula. I want to be very clear about that. I'm not saying if you say these words, if you do these things, then you will automatically get X, Y, or Z. No, these are letters, R-E-C-I-P-E, that we're going to hang some thoughts to help you remember some principles about prayer, things that God has taught me over the years that I've been praying for my children. So let's start with those principles of prayer. Let's start with R. R is remembering the relationship. Prayer reveals what our relationship is with God. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. We sometimes call this the Lord's Prayer, but actually it's the disciples' prayer. And it's really a pattern. He's giving them a pattern of how to pray. And in Matthew 6:9, he starts out that pattern for prayer. Our Father in heaven. Well, that prompts me to ask a question, an important question. Is he your Father? Because it is only his children who have accepted him as his Savior, Jesus as his Savior, to have the right to come into his holy presence. So I don't want to be neglectful of asking, is he your Father? I'm going to assume that most of you, the majority of you, do know him as your Lord and Savior. He is your Father. But if there perchance is someone here tonight who doesn't know what I'm talking about and would like to know more about how do you have a personal relationship with God, then please, afterwards, come and talk to myself. Come and talk to one of the leadership team, Bethany, your mentor moms. We would love to share with you how he can be your Father. Well, as God the Father, we have amazing relationship with him. And in prayer, we must always have kind of this tension there and keep that tension. And what I mean by that is we have a personal relationship with him as our Father. It's an intimate relationship. And yet, he is the creator of the entire world. He is the King of Kings. He is beyond everything that we can ever imagine, so much higher and greater than we are. And yet he invites us into his very throne room. In Psalm 18, David says, "My words, my very words, come into your ear." And so we hold this tension of intimacy, of being his child. He is our Father. At the same time, he is the awesome, holy God. And we always keep that tension there. It is an amazing privilege that he welcomes us into his presence to hear what's on our heart. And yet, we sometimes or often don't avail ourselves of this privilege. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Now, if you've grown up in the church, you'll say, oh, yeah, I know that one. That's the verse for those people like you were talking about a minute ago. Don't know God yet. He's standing at the door saying, "Let me into your life." Now, my passion is studying the Bible. And a good Bible student will say, "Well, let's look up that verse in context." Mm-hmm. And this verse in context, we'll find out, is not speaking to non-believers. This is talking to people who already know him, who are part of the church. This verse is addressed to the people in the church of Laodicea. And the people in the church of Laodicea, Jesus had one complaint about them. They were neither passionate, hot with passion for him, nor were they cold and didn't care about him. Instead, they were lukewarm, just going through the motions and saying they love God, but without loving him with their whole heart. And his opinion of that was it made him sick. Actually, he says, "I want to vomit you out of my mouth." Now, we would think that Jesus is standing over here, "You make me sick." But what does this verse tell us? He is standing at the door of our heart, knocking, saying, "Let me in. I want to come in with you. I want to dine with you." You see, Jesus died not only to save us from an eternity in hell. He died so that we could have an intimate relationship with him. He wants that. He is the lover of our soul. No one loves us like he does. And he invites us to dine with him. And in that dining, we have conversation with him. And we cannot separate these two things from each other when we talk about prayer. When we come to dine with him, we listen to him. And we listen to him by hearing what he has to say through his word. And prayer is responding to him. It's our conversation back to him about what he said in his word. And those two can't be separated. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this evening. So R is remembering who we are speaking to. Now, I'll be honest with you. Many times my natural tendency, when I go to spend time with my lover of my soul, to spend time reading his word and praying, my conversation looks like this. "Oh, I'm glad you're here. Let me pull up my list. I've got these needs my daughters have. I've got these desires, these worries, these fears. Let me just whip this out and tell you all about it." Well, that's not what Jesus is looking for. Because E is expressing exaltation. You see, prayer begins with me listening to him, not me whipping out my list. Matthew 6:9, the disciples' prayer, goes on to say, "Hallowed be your name." He calls us to worship first. Worship is expressing who God is. Have I lost my thing? There we go. And we first want to be reminded of who he is. How do we know who God is? It's not somebody we make up in our minds. It gets back to reading his word and responding to it in prayer. God gave us his word, the Bible, for the purpose of knowing who he is. We don't come to the Bible as a spiritual, as a moral handbook, although it will tell us what's right and wrong to do. The main reason God gave us the Bible is so that we could know him. And when we read God's word, we find out he is sovereign. He's the creator. He's the provider. He's the protector. He's the great shepherd. He's all powerful and all knowing and faithful. He's the just judge. And we find these things out as we, and more, much more, as we read God's word. I find it helpful in my time with God to start out with reading a psalm. The Psalms describe God's attributes and names for God, and it helps me to begin that time with him in worship. It's helpful to keep a list as you read through the Bible, anywhere in the Bible. Ask yourself the question, what is this saying about God? What can I learn about him? And maybe you want to keep a little notebook and just write down those things so that when you go to exalt him, worship him, you can read those things. A little exercise I used to do with my fourth grade Bible students, we would, for a month, keep a list. And you could do this with a little notebook. One page A, the next page B, the next page C. And as we thought about God, we thought about what are all the words that describe God that start with the letter A? What are all the words that describe God that begin with the letter B? And it was amazing and enriching to think about. There are booklets that can help you. If, this is a little booklet put out by Rose Publishing on the attributes of God. It's got scripture in it and can help you think about who God is. Another helpful book I found in worshiping God is Joseph Carroll's book, How to Worship Jesus Christ. And the thing that I found most helpful in this is how to pull in hymns into your worship of Christ. So first, we worship to remind us who he is. And then this helps us to refocus our attention. It takes our eyes off of ourselves and recalibrates them to look at him. And as I look at him, then I'm able to connect who he is, and it helps me with that list I wanted to whip out. For example, if I'm worried about something about my child, I remember he's the sovereign one. He is in control. While I might come wringing my hands, he's not wringing his. He already knows how the situation that I'm worried about, he already knows how it's going to work out. And if I've got things that I'm afraid about for my kids, I'm fearful about something, I'm refocused. He's all powerful. He's the defender. He's the protector. He's the shield. And that affects my list of afraid. Brian's like, I don't have to be afraid. And then sometimes I admit it. I come in and I'm the planner. And I've just got my plan of, you know, this is what I want to see happen with my child. Here it is, Lord. It's a really great plan. Just give your stamp of approval on it, provide the resources, and we're done. And I'm the schemer. But then I'm reminded, no, he's the creator, and he's the king. He has a plan. How insulting for me to come and say, this is how you do it, Lord, when he created the whole universe. That's something that God's recently been, in the last year or so, been convicting me of. Well, as we worship the Lord, not only does it refocus our attention and help us to make those connections of who he is and help us with our list that we've got in our pocket, it also helps us to see who we are in light of who he is. and we start worshiping him and thinking about him, we realize how very small we are. Another thing we realize is just how unholy we are. He is holy, holy, holy. And I'm thrilled to see a number of our ladies from my Isaiah study here. And in Isaiah 6, we read how Isaiah was in the throne room and the angels were singing back and forth to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And Isaiah's reaction to that was, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." Same reaction of Peter when Jesus said, "Throw your net onto the other side after they've been fishing all night." "Okay, Jesus, we'll do that." And huge nets breaking, catch. His reaction was, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinful man." And so we become aware of our sin as we worship him. And that's a good thing, because we need to come clean by confessing. 1 Peter 3:7, in a passage that speaks to husbands about taking good care of their wives, says they need to be obedient in that, because in 1 Peter 3:7 says, "So that your prayers may not be hindered." Our obedience, or our lack of obedience and harboring sin, has effect on our prayers. You see, God's not going to listen to what we have to say. If we're not listening in obedience to what he has to say. And so we need to come clean by confessing. And we need to invite God to search our hearts with us. David says in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Ask God to search your heart for sin that you're burying, that you know that's there. You need to be honest with God. Might as well be honest with God. He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows what you've done, what you've thought, what your motives are. So there's no sense in trying to cover it up or excuse it away. Come clean. And he is the just judge. We just talked about this in our Isaiah study. When he comes to judge, it won't be like earthly judges. When he comes to judge, no evidence will be needed to be brought forward or displayed. No witnesses will need to be called so the judge can discern, did this really happen? Is this person guilty? No jury will, he will need the help of a jury. He already knows it all. And here's the thing, ladies. I hope you never get over this. He already knows what we've done. We are laid bare before him, and yet he loves us. And if he is your father, if God is your father, then your sins have already been paid for. But he wants you to come clean as you live with him. He doesn't want that between you. And so we need to come clean. And we need to really drill down into the very heart of where we're at. Because God cares about the why. James 4, 1 through 3 says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are warring within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." And here's the next part. "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." Other versions say, because you ask with the wrong motives. God cares about the why. So ask God to help you search your own hearts. About those things on that list, what's your motive behind those things? Let's be honest, moms. Sometimes it's pride. God, my kid really deserves that leading role in that play. Because, you know, we live at expert play good thespians, you know, or something like that. Or do you need to be honest and truthful? Maybe you've had a conference with a teacher and you know, you're hurt by what they said. But maybe you have to honestly say, yeah, that is true. And I'm just being prideful. Is there envy or jealousy? Lord, just help my husband get that raise, because, man, if we don't get to Disney World, our kids are going to be, you know, really missing it. Is there any revenge in your heart? You're secretly, you know, kind of delighted, maybe, that kid who's so obnoxious but so good on the soccer team, who gets all the playing team time and my son doesn't, I'm kind of glad he broke his leg, because now my son, Lord, can my son take his spot? And then there's just downright selfishness. Maybe you're not like this. Maybe you're much better than I am. But I know there's some days when I pray for things to go well for my kids, not necessarily for them, but for me. Lord, would you just help that to go well, because I just can't take it. They come in the car and, you know, girls and their emotions are crying. I don't have time for that today, Lord. But that's my own selfishness, and I have to come clean about that, because he sees it and he knows it. Well, once we've come clean, now he does want to know what's on our hearts for our kids. No one loves our kids more than the Lord does. He loves them so much. Now we're ready to pray for our kids, to bring out that list of things that are on our hearts. But how do we pray for our children? Well, we're up to I. In sync with his will. Jesus goes on in his pattern of prayer to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. And truthfully, sometimes, if we're really honest, it's my kingdom I want done, my will that I want done. And so we need to pray in sync with his will. So we need to pray with a teachable heart. We're not alone in this. Mothers have been like this for as long as they've been mothers. And there's an example of one in the New Testament, the mom of James and John. She, you know, she was a proud mom, and she had wanted to take her list out and give it to Jesus. And in Matthew 20:21, it says, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. Now, we find out later in the passage what it is she wanted for her sons. Now, my sons, you know, they're pretty good. So I want them to be in position number 2 and 3. You can be 1, but 2 and 3 for my sons when you come into the kingdom. But before she gets to lay out that request, Jesus says something to her. And it got my attention when I was reading it. And it should get our attention. He asked her a pointed question. He said to her, what do you want? And if we have a teachable heart wanting God's will, we should take that question to heart. What do we really want? Do I really want his will? Do I want his plans? And by the way, what is his will? What does he want? And how do I know what he wants? Well, we get back to those two hands. We know what his will is because he tells us in his word. And we respond to it in prayer. So we need to be in his word, listening to his word, hearing him speak through his word what he says, and praying back that to in response to him. For example, when I'm reading in the Psalms. Let's say I come to Psalm 23, very familiar psalm to all of us. I read, "The Lord is my shepherd." Stop and think about that. And I can pray in response to that. "Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. I thank you for the way that you take care of me. Oh, Lord, please help my daughter to know you as her shepherd." And that'll be our very first thing we ought to be praying for our kids. It's not something we can do for them. It's their salvation, right? Then we read on, we pray, let my son know that you are the one that supplies his needs, like you supply the needs of the sheep. "Oh, Lord, my daughter is going through a hard, dark valley today at school. She's really worried about this. Would you remind her that you go with her? And if she strays, would you use your rod of discipline to get her back on the path that she should be on? If she needs rescuing, would you rescue her from danger?" And so we can read God's word and we can pray God's word back to him for our children. And then as we're reading our Bibles, I found this very helpful to do. What delights him? I make it a practice that every time I see something delights or pleases the Lord, I take note of it. What is it that pleases him? What is it that delights him? Many times it's the characteristics of godliness, of Christ, and that is certainly what we want for our children and what we ought to be praying for our children. And a couple resources there. Just in general, reading God's word and praying it. Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney is a great resource. And then I found this book that looks really great. It's Nancy Guthrie, Praying Through the Bible for Your Kids. She's got a passage of scripture. It's kind of like a year-long devotional. She's got scripture. Please make sure you read the scripture because that's the important part. And then she's got some thoughts about that. That would be a handy tool. And then another tool that I've used with my own children when they were younger, Watchmen on the Walls. And this has scripture passages that have to do with godly character. Find a page. There we go. And helps you pray for the things that God cares about, that are his will in developing in your children. Now, you might say, "But wait a minute, Jody. You're saying that I should look in God's word to find out the things on my list here, what I should be praying about, and what he wants. But where in the Bible does it say, the specifics of that are on my list?" And what I have found is that many times those specific things on my list that have to do with the details of my children's lives are really the tools that God will use to do what he wants to do in their life, to shape their character to him, to shape them into his likeness, to teach them. So they may even be hard things. And that's hard for us moms. Romans 5, we really want character. Romans 5 talks about how you get character. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings." Oh, no. That's what we moms want to protect our kids from. Don't let my child suffer any. We don't want our children to suffer, but what do we really want? Let's see what comes from suffering. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, faithful stick-to-itiveness. And if there's ever a time we need children, a new generation of people who are determined to stay faithful to God, this is the time. And endurance produces character. God uses these things to mold and shape our kids. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Well, there are going to be times, and I'm sure it's already by this time in your parenting, there are going to be times when your heart feels like jello and your knees feel weak because there is a situation that's come into your child's life, and you think, wow, this is more than I can handle. I can't handle any more of this. And you think, I thought this wasn't supposed to happen, God. You said you wouldn't give me any more than I could handle. Well, you know what? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says he will not give you more than you can handle with temptation, and he'll give you a way of escape. The Bible actually says that he will give you more than you can handle sometimes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul, says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us," here's the reason why, God gives us situations that we cannot handle, "but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God." And there are times where in parenting where we're going to have to pray with a dependent heart. When those times of trial come that empty us of all of our resources and we feel empty and we don't know what to do. My very favorite, one of my very favorite Bible passages that has to do with, doesn't have to do with parenting, but can apply to parenting, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's King Jehoshaphat. They're in Jerusalem, and they see this vast, huge army coming against them. Huge. They can see defeat. They don't know what to do. They don't have the resources on their own to defeat this army. But thankfully, King Jehoshaphat does what we all should do when this happens. And sometimes, don't you feel like there's a vast army coming against your children and you don't know what to do? But Jehoshaphat prays, and he prays, "I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you." And he depends on God, and he gets a front row seat to see what God will do. And it is the same with us moms. So God gives us, we should pray with a teachable heart and a dependable heart, a dependent heart. And then there are those times when our kids are going through a difficult time. There is a weighty problem, and it's prolonged. It goes on and on and on. And our hearts not only feel like jello, they're crushed underneath the weight of this. And you might be praying with the psalmist, "Oh Lord, how long?" And you might be finding yourself asking God, "Why? Why is this happening to my dear child? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you answering?" And these are times of testing of our faith. Will we trust God that he is who he says he is, who we worshiped him to be? And sometimes in these times of great testing, we turn that into the testing God by asking why, when it's really meant to test our faith. And God has two why questions for us in those times of testing. And they're not words that are spelled, are questions that are spelled with W-H-Y. They're two words that begin with the letter Y. And they're these two questions he would ask of us. And they're hard questions for us moms to answer. Whatever the issue is, are you willing to yield it to me? Because You yearn for me. You love me most. This is the issue that Abraham had to face with Isaac. He had waited 25 years from the time he was 75 to 100 to get Isaac. So excited to have Isaac, they named him Laughter. He was the treasure of his heart, the joy of his life, the thing he treasured most on this earth. And yet, one night God said, I want you to get up in the morning, take a 3 days journey, and sacrifice him to me. Now, God's intent was not for him to kill him. It was a test. You think that was hard for Abraham? Absolutely. But he did it. They went on the 3 day journey. God was asking that test. Do you love me more? Are you willing to yield to me, Isaac, because you yearn for me more? And when he raised that knife to kill Isaac, God said, now I know you love me most. And he provided for him. So the answer is, will you unclench your fist and will you let God decide? We so much want to be in control of every situation in our children's lives, don't we? Will you unclench your fist and say, Lord, you can decide. You can decide to take this matter, to leave it, or to change it. I leave the choice in your hands. I'm going to trust that you are good and that you are who you say you are, because I yearn for you. I love you more than I love my child. And know that you can trust him. He loves your child too. So pray in sync with his will, with a teachable heart in his word, a desperate, dependent heart, a surrendered heart, yielding and yearning. And that leaves us just with two letters left. We have R, remembering the relationship, E, expressing exaltation, C, coming clean by confession, I, in sync with his will. And we're going to put the last two letters together. And that is patient expectancy. Prayer involves waiting. I don't know if you've noticed that our timing is not always God's timing. And so prayer quite often requires waiting. And I was praying about something. It was about last spring, I think. And I was in the late afternoon, and I was reading through Psalm 27 and got to the last verse. And it says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Well, if you're a good Bible student, you know when something's repeated twice, you ought to think about it. So I was just sitting there in my red comfy chair thinking about wait for the Lord. That's a phrase that you see all over the Bible. So I decided to think, well, let's chew on that for a little bit. I asked myself the question, well, what are you waiting for? And it says, waiting for who? The Lord. And I had to be honest with myself. Many times when I'm in the waiting mode, I'm waiting for whatever it is I'm praying. When are you going to do it? Rather than my focus being on the Lord. And then as I sat there, munching on this thought, my cat Maggie was sitting on the arm of the chair. God was providing a visual lesson for me. Because at 5 o'clock, somehow our cats have an internal clock that says, oh, it's food o'clock. And so it was getting close to 5 o'clock. And so she wanted me to know it's getting close to food o'clock. And so she's sitting there on the arm of the chair. While I'm thinking about this, she at first just sits there, and then she pats me on the arm, and I don't do anything. So she rubs her head on my arm, and then she rubs her head on my arm, and then she nips my shirt and nips my hair. And she's getting impatient. She's waiting. And what she's waiting for is for me to get up out of that chair and open that can of cat food and give her food. And she knows I have the power of the can. If she could open the can, she would not even be there on the arm of the chair. She would be opening the can all day long. And it also made me think, we had big dogs, we don't right this moment, but we've had big English Mastiffs. And our first English Mastiff, 200 pounds, CJ, loved my husband. And it reminded me that around this time of day, CJ would just automatically know he was going to the front window. And he would look out, up and down the street. He was looking for Serge's car because he knew this about the time Serge would come home. No, not there. So he would eventually lay down, but he wouldn't settle. You know how dogs settle. Up on his haunches. Sometimes he'd put his head down. Anytime a car came by, ears up, perking, perking. If a car came remotely close to our house and the door slammed, he was up. Is it him? Is it him? Is it him? And, you know, when it was him, it was like Mary Poppins time. You know how the guy next door blows the cannon and everybody's got to hang on to a piece of furniture? Because a 200-pound dog does everything a 30-pound dog when they're excited, only it's much bigger. And and he would just be so excited to see Serge. And he was, you know, what are we going to do? You know, and of course, Serge was going to feed him, but that was not where his mind was. His mind was so excited to see Serge. And it struck me, how am I waiting for the Lord? Am I waiting like Maggie, pestering? When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? You have the power. Come on, come on. Or am I waiting like CJ? God, my eyes are on you. What are you going to do? I'm waiting to be just amazed at how you're going to answer this prayer. I'm waiting. I'm watching. I'm alert. Okay? And and God is at work, even when we're waiting. And occasionally he'll pull back the cover and let you see. Well, those are our principles for prayer. We have R, remember who he is. E, exalt him. C, confess your sins. I, pray in sync with his word. Wait patiently with expectation. Well, quickly, I want to give you a few helpful hints. Things have helped me. It's important to have that you make prayer a part of your daily devotions, your quiet time, whatever you want to call it. And may I just say, if you're not having daily devotions, I encourage you strongly. He's knocking at the door. He wants to have that time with you. So I would encourage you to make that a habit. Make it a practice to make part of your time dedicated to prayer during your quiet time. It's a habit at first. And remember to respond to his word. Now, many times people say, well, my mind wanders. There's so many distractions when I pray. So a few things that I've found helpful for myself. And the first I'm going to call, get the noise out. Put your phone somewhere else. Turn the TV off. Go somewhere quiet so that you can focus on the Lord. And I know that some of you, might have your Bible on your phone. I would encourage you to nonetheless put it aside and use an actual Bible. It dings, you know, or you see it light up and you think, oh yes, I need to get back with her because she's waiting on me. And then, oh yeah, there's a sale on that. Let me look at that. And then, you know, before you know it, your window of time's gone. And you haven't either listened to God or talked to him. And that precious time is gone. We are busy women and we have things flitting through our minds all the time. And you might be trying to read God's word, trying to pray about these things, worship him. And, oh, that's right. I need that grape juice for that Thanksgiving feast at school. So maybe keep a little notepad and just write down grape juice, then leave it there. You're going to worry about grape juice afterwards, but you got it down. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Some people, and occasionally I do this, write out their prayers in a journal. For me personally, for a while, I couldn't do it because I found out I was having a pity party. It just digressed into a pity party or a venting party. And that's not what prayer is really all about. Now, something that you are moving into the stage of that you can do that I found to be the very most helpful thing to me with mind wandering. And that's if you have periods of time where your kids are off doing something else or they're at school and you're by yourself, pray out loud. It has revolutionized my praying by being able to pray out loud. It's harder for your mind to wander. Then another helpful thing is we have lots of things we want to pray about. And this is a little trick my dad taught me. Just simply take a piece of paper, fold it in half twice. It will give you 8 blocks. And you label one block every day. And then you label the rest of them the days of the week. And you're like, I pray for my family members every day. But you can be as creative as you want. You might want to say, well, I'll pray for my kids' teachers one a day. I'll pray for the people who work with my children one a day. Pray for my pastors or their Sunday school teachers or this particular trait in my child every day. It can give you focus and help you to remember to pray for those different things, praying according to things in his word in response. And then I find it really helpful, and this I do, is to keep a journal. And, well, some people already have a journal. And it's a thank you journal. Because we don't want to forget to thank him when we see those things that he's doing, those amazing things that he'll will do. And I just kind of jot them. I just dot, dot, dot. You know, thank you, Lord, for blah, 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 blah. And it helps us to remember to be thankful. But here's the other cool thing. Now that I've been doing it a while, I'll pull one of those off the shelf. And maybe I'm going through a time that's really difficult. And I'll read. And I'll think, wow, God. I remember when we were going through that hard time. Look what you did. That was amazing. You know what helps me to do? It helps me to trust him now because he's the same God now as he was back then, as he is in the Bible. He was and is and always will be the same God. And it helps me to remember. Another quick thing. Make it a part of your daily living, just a natural way of living. You know how the doctor, you know, does that little thing on your knee and natural reflexes to pop out. At first, it's going to be a habit, but the more you live in a way that you pray all day long, it will be natural. One thing that taught me early on was make God your first response. Used to be something would happen with my kids, and very first thing I would be doing, picking up the phone. We didn't have phones to text with. We had, you know, calling my friend Tammy. Could you please pray for me? La, 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 la. Yeah, I knew she would pray for me, and it is good to have friends to support you in prayer, but you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to call God first. I'm asking her to pray, and I haven't even prayed yet. And so I started making a habit to pray to God first before I reached out to a friend. Then we want to reclaim the time. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't have time to pray. Well, I want to give you a few suggestions of reclaiming the time. This is a season of life where you're driving a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Taking your kids here, there, and everywhere. Well, use that time while you're driving instead of listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm. Dedicate some of those trips to praying. And we're doing a lot of waiting and carpool lines, waiting for practice to be over. You know, you could zip your little list out and spend some time praying. While you're doing meaningless tasks, like matching all those socks up and all that laundry you have to fold, washing all those, used to be dirty dog prints off the floor. Great times to pray. I do some of my best praying in the shower when you're all by yourself in there. Yep. While you're walking or running, some of you who are more into exercise than me, and here's the cool thing. If you wanted to pray out loud, you could. When I was growing up, you couldn't. People would think you were crazy. But nowadays, you know, you walk along, people are talking all the time. So might as well talk to God if you're going to talk to somebody else on the phone. And then during the night, I don't know about you, but when things aren't going great with my kids, I'm awake in the night. And it's far better to stop and pray. Worship God right there in your bed. You don't have to get up. Just right there in your bed, pray. Remember to worship. Remember who he is. Remember the scripture, what it's, he says. And pray for that problem rather than to chew and chew and chew and chew and get yourself into total tizzy. Mm-hmm. Pray. And then I would suggest one other thing. You know, there was a season when my kids were growing up where I really felt like I needed to dedicate some serious time to prayer for my kids. And so I just took a day. I said, okay, Lord, Tuesday mornings are your day. I even passed up an opportunity to be a part of Deshwa Joyce's little mothering group she had at the time. Because I had committed that day I was going to try and spend more time praying for my kids. Well, very quickly, I know we're marching on here. You want to make sure and pass along the recipe. You might know somebody, maybe your Aunt Jane makes the most fabulous, delicious chocolate cake you ever tasted. And she brings it to every family event, and you ask her over and over for that recipe, but she's taking that recipe to the grave with her because she gets lots of compliments and she wants to keep it to herself. This is not a recipe we keep to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, we want to pass it on to our kids. So pass the recipe on to them. It begins with modeling for them, praying for them. You know, another reason why you should put your phone away when you're having your time with the Lord, because your kids will probably see you. Like we knew where mom was going to be. She was going to be in the family room with her Bible open. We knew that. We saw it modeled for us. You know what my kids grew up? Because I saw my mom doing that. They knew that I'd be in my red comfy chair with my Bible open, having my quiet time. And now, one of my daughters, she's got her big cream-colored chair. She's got her Bible open. If you have your phone, this is just, I'll just say this, they don't know what you're doing. But if you have a real Bible, I mean, that's not the real Bible, but an actual book that's the Bible on your lap, they know what you're doing. You're modeling it for them. And they can see you praying. You tell them, I'm praying for you. And then mentor them. Pray with them. Bring prayer into your children's life. This is something my mom taught me a lot. She taught me, run to God. Run to God. Your kid comes home. There's been a problem at school. There's been a problem with a kid at school. Take them to God's word and prayer. I have a very clear picture when I was in sixth grade, and girls, as girls can be, was very hurtful and sobbing to my mom. I remember laying on the sofa. She opened her Bible, Romans 12. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In so doing, you will be heap burning coals on their head. Burning coals, that sounded good. But then she explained to me the real meaning of that verse. And then she talked to me about it. And then we prayed together about it. And if your kids are having problems with other kids, something that will make a difference to them is praying for that kid who's hurting them. It will change their heart. It changes my heart when I pray for somebody who's hurting me. So you mentor them. You bring them along. When they're being tempted, go to the Lord with them in prayer. When they have a great sorrow or loss, they didn't get that part in the play. Take that to the Lord. You can trust the Lord with that. Discipline's a great time to pull in prayer. Let's talk to God about that. So you go along with them. Now, those two things, modeling and mentoring, those are things that you can do in obedience to God to raise your children. The next thing is up to them. You have no control over it, but you've done your part. Now they will decide. When I was a kid, I can remember this time of year when I was very small, I remember pulling up a chair to the counter and watching my mom fix the food for Thanksgiving. fix the broccoli cheddar casserole. And I'd say, me do it. No, you watch this time. Maybe next time. Well, there are a lot of next times, I thought. But then I got older, and we did it together. You mix this. Here, I'll give you the spoon, you know. And as I got older, then you make it, I'll watch. And then she was coming to my house, and I was fixing it. And it can work this way with our children. And it will help if you model and mentor. There are no guarantees. It's up to your child to decide. But what we want to pray for, what we hope for, is the taste test. That they would look to the Lord. They would follow the recipe. They would pray with teachable hearts and desperate hearts and surrendered hearts. And in so doing, they will find out that God's not a vending machine in the sky. He's not there to rub a magic lamp. They will taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. He is the lover of their souls. And isn't that what we want most? Jesus asks, what do you want? That's what we want most. And it's hammered out in the dailyness of life. Prayer does change things. What prayer changes the most is it changes our hearts to beat with his heart and to become more like him. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for these precious moms. I'm so grateful that they've come. I pray that they might know that you, in a very real way, that you are the lover of their souls, who knocks on the door of their heart every day, inviting them into an intimate relationship with you through listening to you, through your word, what you have to say in your word, and responding to it in prayer. And, oh, Lord, it's how you change our hearts. It's how you're going to change our kids' hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help these women to grow in prayer, to grow in their relationship with you. And, Lord, we will give you all the praise and the glory. In your glorious name, amen. My very last thing is I did bring these different resources, and I'm not taking them home with me tonight. So at your tables during table discussion time, whoever has a child whose birthday is closest to today may come up and choose one. So there you go.